So what we're about to share with you is a really vulnerable and powerful poem and story, Amy's story, around medical misdiagnosis or diagnosis and the journey of trying to get well. And so if you're bipolar or know someone that's bipolar or someone experiencing fibromyalgia or really just struggling with the medical system and trying to make their way through it, you'll want to give this a listen. But the other thing is just, it really is a testimony to her resilience and the tenacity she had with figuring it out, getting well. So give it a listen, and if you have any questions, let us know.
And I was up late last night. I got the rhyme on a dime urge to write a bunch of poetry. Now, there was one that I wrote about 7 years ago, before my present diagnoses, and it was thought by my multiple symptoms that I was bipolar. And as it happens, I had a number of health problems that weren't caught until the latter part of 2018, so the misdiagnoses. So I was quite disillusioned that there was some shadow following me on this roller coaster of changing medical symptoms. So I called the poem below my, that I'm about to say, Bipolar Bicycle Ride. And then I rewrote this poem in 2017 to reflect a new awakening free from being trapped under all those labels of bipolar. And it was just a bunch of coexisting health issues that could have been identified earlier if my doctor in the medical community had been willing to do more than the usual tests. So I figured out my diagnosis was wrong a whole year before it was confirmed. And the doctors, this doctor, he may have been a doctor for 12 years, like he used to toot his horn. But I've been in my body for 53 years and I know it better. And after 8 years in university studying the biological science of the human body, I was pretty sure I wasn't all... It just didn't make sense until now. So here's the newest version of my poem, but the second is representative of how I felt trapped by what I called an inevitable roller coaster ride. So this new version, it does talk about some of the things I felt prior to them calling me bipolar, and then my new awakening afterwards. So I'll read the first one, and then I'll read the darker version. Okay, bipolar bike ride. I ride a bicycle, pedal, pedal, pedal. Mountains, valleys, plains. At the top of a mountain pass, sun on my face, close to the clouds. Birds sweep treetops, fresh pine scent, wind on my face, awe and wonder, pedal, pedal, pedal. Here comes the valley, feet swung out, ready for the ride, sailing, air rushing, faster, 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 adrenaline pumping, fun, 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 wee, reckless, pedal, 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 brakes, 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 there are none, down, 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 fear and trembling, still plunging down, the bottom is here, no crash this time, relief, pedal, 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 the valley is dark, no birds, who cares? Miserable little squirrels. Sunshine betrays me. It's beginning to rain. Cold, wet, alone. Back up the hill. Oh my God. Pedal, pedal, pedal. No momentum. Oh, no energy. The climb is so steep. No one to push or pull. Only my drive. Fighting, struggling. Turning each pedal. One, two, three. Chug, chug, chug. Pedal, pedal, pedal. The light I see is suddenly strange, shining between veils in the stratosphere, the wind on my cheek, the fragrant air. My presence is in the now. I just am what I am. No projections, no bipolar labels, no blame, shame, guilt beatings, or fear. Pedal, pedal, pedal. Pedaling through the thoughts, though unusual and novel, let them flow through the wind. Legs out wide astride, this realization, I'd like to know. What if? Pedal, pedal, pedal. Wheels in motion, transformations and acceptance, birthrights of joy, peace, love, and well-being. Who wouldn't want that? Something to explore, something worth pursuing, definitely. Pedal, pedal, pedal. Life's bright, isn't it sweet? Dream, wish, dance, happiness, joy, truth, honesty, self-love, self-acceptance, self-efficacy. The pursuit of personal excellence, all within the veils of self-knowledge. That's the bike I enjoy riding, so I engage it. Pedal, pedal, pedal. So that was the first one. And the older version was when I felt that all those symptoms I was having that were misdiagnosed, wrong medication, that kind of thing, I felt that this thing was never going to end and that I couldn't control it. It was just some ominous Eeyore's cloud hanging above my head. So I wrote Bipolar Bike Ride again, and I wrote it like this. It's kind of dark. I ride a bicycle, pedal, pedal, pedal. Mountains, valleys, plains. At the top of a mountain pass, sun on my face, close to the clouds, birds sweep, trees, tops. Fresh pine scent, wind on my face, pedal, pedal, pedal. Here comes the valley, feet swung out, ready for the ride. Sailing, air rushing, faster, 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 adrenaline pumping, fun, 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 wee, reckless. Pedal, pedal, pedal. Brakes, 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 there are none. Down, 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 fear and trembling, still plunging down. The bottom is here, no crash this time. Pedal, pedal, pedal. Oh, the valley's dark, no birds, who cares? Ah, miserable little squirrels. Sunshine betrays me. It's beginning to rain. Cold, wet, alone. Back up the hill, pedal, pedal, pedal. No momentum, no energy. The climb is so steep. No one to push or pull. Only my willpower. Fighting, struggling, turning each pedal. One, two, three, chug, 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 pedal, pedal, pedal. It's coming. I can see just a little bit more. The plains and the green. The roller coaster is over. Pedal, pedal, pedal. I have arrived home, safe and sound. Until the next bicycle ride, it is inevitable. Pedal, pedal, pedal. Quite a different tone, isn't there?
Wow.
Yeah. So, I remember when I first wrote it, Greg wrote Awesome Possum on my poem that I wrote. Yeah, he said, I will inspire many with this.
Yeah.
So, well, we were talking earlier before I recorded this audio, and you were saying something about when we first met, and I had spoke to you. We had been together 12 years ago, and I didn't apparently have that problem then. But 12 years later, and we get together, and I'm talking to Greg in our first coffee meeting,
right.
I'm telling him that I'm bipolar. And what did you say?
Well,
what were your observations?
Well, when I listened, you know, when we got together, we were commiserating and catching up, and each had our story of woe and trauma and drama and stuff going on. And the thing, my observation was that when you shared with me what you went through and how your family treated you and how the divorce went and the whole, I mean, just the everything, how the whole thing mixed together. I said, who wouldn't be freaking depressed? And, you know, and who wouldn't, you know, and I, you know, I've never seen you bipolar. I've never, you know, and every person, bipolar person is different, I think. But I don't, you know, I've seen, had a lot of bipolar, but I don't know, I've never experienced it, so I don't know what that's about. But all I can do is observe that I've never seen you really depressed. I haven't seen that side of you, but my observation was, if what happened to you happened to me, I'd be damn depressed, and I'd be desperate to try to get some ray of hope, and suddenly when that ray of hope arrives in some manner, I could be accused of being exceedingly happy. Manic.
That's what happened to me. Now, when we first met, I was very chipper, and despite what was going on in my life, and I opened that business, and it was for kids, and I just loved it. And then the divorce.
Hey, you finally had something that you could express yourself.
Yeah, that science, all that science that I used to do just didn't cut the mustard, so I got into something that was fun.
Right.
And then the divorce was pretty hairy, and he tried to smother me. So I lost the house. I lost my life savings, my career, my business, my kids, my dog. It sounds like a country song.
Your garden.
My garden and that yard, the property that I had built, the whole landscaping.
Yeah.
And there was the bankruptcy, and then having to leave the house on Christmas without most of my things. And then I moved in with a friend who was also a narcissist, like my mom and my ex. And I lived with him for a year and a half and couldn't stand it. So I found another friend to room with, and he was a narcissist. So that lasted 3 weeks, and I was out of there.
And the interesting thing about being in relationships with narcissists is they're goddamn experts at spoon feeding you heroes.
Oh, especially if they find out that you get a diagnosis that you're bipolar, then, you know, because I was depressed, and so when you're depressed, you get really sick. But I had other things going on that, you know, at the time. But those symptoms got worse over the years. So I didn't know what it was. And so I went into a doctor, and he diagnosed me with bipolar.
Right.
And so then I
Then the wheels of the healthcare system start, right?
Yes. And then when I got sick, I had to go live at my mom's. Well, my mom is a full-blown narcissist, type 1.
Right.
And so I was there for, 2 years, and it was hell on wheels.
And the interesting thing, if you look at the cycle of the narcissist and the cycle and the so-called bipolar cycle,
Very much the same.
They could feed off of one another because
when
the narcissist is high and flying high, they're just like, you know, they're flying high and they're like a party waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And why aren't you partying with me? You got to party.
And when you're not giving them their hero cookies and their narcissistic supply, then they go into this rage.
Right.
Or they go into this, oh, poor me, or,
how dare you breathe my oxygen?
Or you're wrong, you know? Yeah, basically. So anyway, that's just a squirrel. So, I got sick and I had other symptoms, and I went to my doctor, and he said that, nobody dies from pain,
right?
Which turned out I had full-blown fibromyalgia and chronic sleep disorder.
Fatigue,
yeah.
And sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea.
So not only was in your body rebuilding itself.
And all those allergies. Yeah. And
it was complex.
And migraine headaches from the allergies. And that put me in the hospital every night for weeks. And my depression continued. My parents continued to tell me that there was something wrong with me because I was bipolar. I was no longer.
How dare you love life?
I was no longer the golden child because I had a divorce and I didn't have all that money and that prestigious house. And I didn't have all that. I walked away from it because it was either that or my sanity or getting smothered. So it's kind of like everything mounted up. And then at one point, I went to the hospital, and I just sort of woke up and decided that I didn't want this anymore. There had to be something more for me.
Right.
And I knew I had more potential than what I was exhibiting. So I decided to incorporate and use all those tools and skills that you'd given me back in the day when you were my business coach. And it all worked.
It still blows my mind.
It all worked. And it all worked. And I started getting better. And I got rid of all the dysfunctional people in my life, like cold turkey. And then I really got better. And I shed the medical system, was no longer in mental health system. And but I still continued to have problems with my feet. But I thought it had to do with this windstorm. I got blown off my balcony. Right. But I never got better. I went to all the kinds of physio and I never got better. It kept getting worse. So finally, I go to a rheumatologist in the capital city.
Who does a really thorough medical history.
Oh, yeah. And then he comes along and says, "Does this hurt? Poke." Does this hurt? Poke.
It does it like a dozen times.
Oh, my God. He's like, "Oh, you should only have 5 out of these 12, but you got them all." And I'm like, "Yeah, thanks for finding them all and poking." But anyway, he says, "Nope, it's not arthritis. I have arthritis in the toe, but it's not arthritis." He said, "For your whole body to hurt like this," he says, "you have fibromyalgia. And from the fact that you're tired all the time and all your symptoms and the history, you have the chronic fatigue syndrome."
So it was a very complex situation you had. And, you know, my thought was that, I mean, the challenge with something as complex and as diverse as your experiences and your symptoms, I mean, from a science basis, if they can't observe it, they can't understand it. If they can't understand it, they can't treat it. And so
give a damn to even try and get a history from you.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, out of all the doctors since we've been together you've seen, that rheumatologist was the most thorough.
Yeah.
It was the rheumatologist, the intern. The intern lady did your history and spent like 20-30 minutes listening to you explain all your symptoms, and you had done all the preparation.
I did,
because you had to wait like 6 months or something like that to see this guy.
I was ready to tell him what all the symptoms were and what I had done and what worked and what wasn't working. Like the CPAP changed my energy levels at night, and my migraines went away, and I didn't fall asleep standing up anymore. So it was good, but it still wasn't enough.
It was disturbing and enlightening.
Yeah.
Because it was enlightening that we finally, when we did the research on fibromyalgia, it made sense. But it's also, you know, fibromyalgia is also a bit of a mystery in a lot of ways, but we found some other resources.
Yeah, we found all about the specific science of it. So
and
I
got
can
some
understand
unexpected
it.
Help from your psychiatrist.
Yeah, yeah.
She had an insight.
Yeah, she was great. She knew about fibromyalgia. And then after she gave me that, holy moly, the energy I have, you can't even keep up with me.
Yeah. It's crazy. And just a note for those that might be listening that might be bipolar, she's not manic.
No. She just said I was excessively happy to finally have a life.
Because what's the thing you say that happens with the sympathetic system and the parasympathetic? That's a very important distinction.
It's our,
it helps me understand.
Our nervous system. There's two parts to it. And the sympathetic system is that fight or flight reaction we get when we're stressed or scared and that kind of thing. And then there's the parasympathetic. So one you have so that you have energy in the morning, and the other one you have so that at night you're ready to go to bed. Well, for me, it's the opposite.
Right.
So I'm exhausted in the morning and have a real hard time, and my pain levels are higher. And at night, I have all the energy that the rest of you have in the morning.
Right.
But they switch at 3 o'clock, like clockwork.
Which is classic, kind of the... that inverse thing that's happening is classic fibromyalgia.
But they thought that was bipolar switching.
Right.
And so what would happen is I get really tired and I have to sleep an hour. And then I get my energy back and I'm good to go. But there's this right. noticeable switching.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a problem with the sympathetic system. Now, when you get a stimulus of any kind coming through your nervous system up into your brain, if you have established, there's three routes for thought processes and all kinds of stimulus to go through your brain. The first one is lightning fast. The second one is fast. And the third is slower. So that one goes through the top of your brain and all the way around to the prefrontal cortex. Yeah. And then it stimulates the hypothalamus. And I can't remember the rest right now. Mm-hmm. So it goes through at the center of the brain, which is the amygdala. So this center, it shunts through subconsciously. So anytime you have a fight or flight type of thing happening, then it goes straight unconsciously through and it keeps reestablishing that pathway. And you're in a hypersensitive state all the time, really right. hypervigilant. And of course, that wreaks havoc on your body.
That's the amygdala now, right?
When it goes through the lower part. It's the middle part. So
the middle part, okay.
Yeah, so it goes to the lower part, and then it shunts across.
Right.
And the second one, it does the same thing, but it goes through one other part of the brain, but it still is subconscious. So the trick is when your body reacts to this, because it's all, you know, the eyelid bone is connected to the toenail bone. And so your body responds to this, and then it sends more stimuli, and then it's shunted through. And next thing you know, you've got this negative biofeedback happening.
Right.
And you get sicker and sicker and sicker. And there's a
confusion in the reading of the signals.
So there's so much reaction versus responding, and being able to think consciously about how you're going to respond versus react in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many things with fibromyalgia that you can do actually to slow down that sensitivity and to get that stimulus to go through new pathways connecting through the brain called neuroplasticity, where the brain is able to actually change and learn and grow.
You can, your brain can adapt and it is plastic. And ultimately you can, your brain can heal itself and by exercising your brain, using your brain,
my body,
it helps your body, right?
Yes. My doctor, the rheumatologist said that if I was religious about the information and the stuff I had to do, eating, nutrition, like exercise, how I thought, my thought processes, you know, if I could keep myself unstressed, that kind of thing, you know, watching TV that's not, you know, killing and going to concerts that are high banging and
because those that, things. Because that stimulates the
sympathetic system, and we want to decrease those pathways.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to start using consciously the other pathways and the connections in the brain. And there's a biological DNA association, but I won't go into my geeking out.
Yeah.
So the brain literally physiologically does change.
Yeah.
So my point is that sometimes your diagnoses, it's, you know, the medical community can only go on the tests that they have, and there is no test for bipolar.
No, it's observational.
And the same with fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
So that it's all observation, and
if you don't give them the information, if you don't share all of your story, and they don't have the willingness to hear the story, they won't have the information to make a proper diagnosis.
Right. And if you go to a doctor, the most you can get is 15 minutes with them. And, you know, if you have a complex situation like I did.
Right.
So anyway, if you don't understand something that's going on with your body or how you're feeling, or maybe you can't even connect up with your feelings, I think the best way to do it is to pay attention to your body, your instincts, all the signals it's given back to you, because when you start to feel uptight, sick, your back hurts, your feet hurt, all those things, migraine headaches, those things happen your body kind of shuts down. Your mind can shut down. You can go become disassociated. Those type of things, if you numb out, just start with sensing what's going on in your body. If you can't feel, just sit, try and sense it. I'm going to cough. So, I think...
You don't have to be a victim. The key message here.
No.
You don't have to be a victim to the labels, to your diagnoses.
Even if you are bipolar. What's the big deal? You know, sure, you have problems and stuff. Yeah, that's true. But do you believe...
There isn't a human being alive that doesn't have issues.
I think we're all bipolar to a degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of us are really quirky. But the thing is that
good.
It doesn't matter if you're green, blue, purple, got hair, don't got hair, tall, short, fat, skinny, whatever you are, you're not a label. You aren't that.
Right.
You are a human being with all the same emotions and feelings that any other person out there has, regardless of your situation.
And every one of those labels you just shared, every one of those labels, all those people are all trying to accomplish the same thing. They're just trying to fully inhabit their life, their experience. That's all.
Yeah. And that's what we say at Life Origami.
Correct.
That you can bend, shape, and fold your life
to
your will, whims, and wishes. And I always say, dancing in your dreams awake.
Indeed. So have a really great day. If you have any questions, please reach out. Greg and Amy are here to chat, to support, and we wish you all the best.
Namaste.